Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for the time that we can share together. I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, last week, we looked at prayer. And God wants us to tell the world how to be saved, and it always starts with prayer. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the message. What are we going to be preaching? You know, trust is a major issue in our society. Our culture is plagued with identity theft and child abductions, trafficking, all kinds of different scams. In short, our culture is severely lacking in truthfulness and trust. But fortunately, there's an answer. His name's Jesus. A relationship with Him provides the promise of an eternal future with the one who can always be trusted. Paul has never met these Christians in the church at Rome, but he had hoped to visit them when he was on his way to Spain. In the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, he shares the extensive explanation of how sinful we are and how we have to have salvation only through the Lord Jesus. He established the theological foundation, and then the rest of the book he gives practical commands as to how we're to live our lives. So let's begin looking in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The word is near to you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That is, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now the key word here in this passage is in verse 10. It's the word righteousness. That means a right standing before God. Not achieved through human effort, but where human sinfulness is exchanged for the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thy word, it says, is near to me, even in my mouth, my heart. You see, God didn't make discovering and experiencing salvation some big kind of difficult task. Salvation is as near as our mouths and our hearts. And what we do is seen in two actions. First of all, we believe in our heart. You see, faith is believing and trusting in something or someone. Trust is our assured reliance on the character, the ability, the strength, or the truth of the thing or the person which we place our trust. Our salvation is not dependent on anything we do. It's secured by our faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done. Belief is much deeper and richer than just knowing something is true. James 2:19 says, "The devils also believe and tremble." So, there you go. Believe in thine heart is to place our total trust and reliance on what we believe. And through faith and trust in Jesus, we believe and receive Him as the Lord and Savior of our lives. He is the sacrifice through His death and His resurrection. His resurrection is the validation of His sacrifice. He overcame death, and He made the way for us to be brought back to God. That is the gospel we believe in our hearts. But then we're to make a confession with our mouth. We're to confirm our belief in the gospel and the lordship of Jesus by confessing it with our mouths. Too many times we don't have confessing Christians. We have possessing Christians, but not too many confessing Christians. And confessing Jesus as Lord is to set Him apart for anyone or anything else. He's number one. No other God. And since He paid the price, He's the Lord and He's the Master, having all power and authority over us. We've been going through the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, talks about at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God. Our inward belief and our outward confession go hand in hand. They're two sides of the same coin. The result of confessing and believing is salvation and righteousness. Jesus saves us by removing our sin and giving us His righteousness. So without turning to Jesus with believing hearts, we wouldn't be able to make an honest confession with our mouths. Belief and confession lead to the righteousness that we get when we get saved. Our profession of faith confirms Jesus as God and His authority over life and death. Without this knowledge, we have no salvation, we have no righteousness. Though God reveals Himself in creation, and there are lots of people who believe in His existence, a saving faith is found only in belief and confession of the risen Christ. Look at verse 11 in Romans chapter 10. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon His name. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The gospel is not some kind of elite social club, folks, where God only extends invitation to those He thinks are worthy. I mean, that kind of club would be empty anyway, wouldn't it? Because none of us are worthy. No matter how good or bad we think we are, we've all sinned and we're not worthy. That's what Romans 3:23 says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the beauty of the gospel is that just as all of us are unworthy, we have the opportunity to believe and to accept the gospel. Those who believe and call on the name of the Lord, regardless of who they are or where they come from, are assured of receiving the gift of salvation, the blessings of God, and all of His promises, because God extends His invitation to everyone. Now look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. As beautiful as the promise of salvation is, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. Someone has to proclaim the message that calling on the name of the Lord leads to salvation. Here's the process. Christ sends one to proclaim the message. That person is sent, preaches the message. People hear the message. People believe. Those who believe call on the name of the Lord, and those who call on the name of the Lord are saved. You see, when we accept and receive the good news, we receive both the benefits of salvation, which is a forgiven life and a fully restored relationship, and the privilege of sharing that gift with someone else. You see, salvation is not automatic, folks. Just because someone hears the gospel doesn't mean they're automatically saved. Does the merely hearing the words go in one ear and out the other? That word translated here carries the idea that you obey and you follow what you hear. It's the connection between believing and hearing is seen in verse 16. They have not all obeyed the gospel. You see, a person must act on what he hears. The prophet Isaiah told of the captives that they would welcome the messenger who brought news of their release. And they would describe the feet that brought such good news as beautiful. Paul applied the same idea to those who brought the news that freedom was available for all those who were captive to sin. Folks, not everybody's going to receive the gospel. But those who do, hear and believe, will forever be grateful for those who gave them the good news. Folks, we're the heralds. We are the ones who have been called to deliver the message of life. Two things should motivate us to be the ones that share the message. Number one, gratitude, thanksgiving. We express our thanks to God for our salvation by sharing that message with other people. We can be grateful that God used someone else to tell us about Jesus. We do the same thing. And number two is love. We can share His love with other people. We have benefited from His love, and now that love leads us to share with other people. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." So what do we do this week with the message that we have? Well, maybe you should think about those that told you about the Savior. If you've trusted Him as Lord and Savior, somebody told you about Him. Prayerfully consider those whom God has placed in your path and look for opportunities to tell them the message that God loves them. And let God give you the power to be an instrument that brings others to the saving knowledge of Him. Amen? Well, that ends our Bible study for this week. Next week, we'll be looking at living out the message. Living out the message. It's one thing to have it. What do you do with it? But you know what? Sunday's coming. Well, we had a wonderful Mother's Day service last week, and we're looking forward to another one this week. So I hope we'll see you Sunday. Because, folks, God is so good all the time. See you next time.